Our scripture this morning will be taken from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. I'll be reading verses 10 through 12. Wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. This is the word of God.
June 2nd is going to be a special day this year. Does anyone know why? I'm not referring to your anniversary, Chris Brown. That's certainly a big deal. It's Dave Worm's birthday, too. Not that that's a big deal. But as great as those special occasions are this year, in just a few weeks, on June 2nd, it's going to be even more special. Many of you are probably looking forward to this event, even if you don't know what I'm talking about. Power, grace, wisdom. I think June 2nd is the wrong day, because if they had really been on the ball, they would have released the new Wonder Woman movie today. On Mother's Day, don't you think? Now, before she was Wonder Woman, she was Diana, Princess of the Amazons, trained warrior. No, she wasn't. She was the Proverbs 31 woman. She hasn't been fighting alongside man in war to end all wars, but the Proverbs 31 woman has been dogging real women for the last 3,000 years. I mean, how many women, other than Wonder Woman, of course, could actually live up to the description we read here about this woman at the end of the book of Proverbs? Well, relax, ladies. This proverb is not written to you. That doesn't mean you can tune out the rest of the sermon, though. One of the keys to proper biblical interpretation, as we all know, is to understand the original audience, right? And throughout Proverbs, we hear the various contributors speaking specifically to young men. So Proverbs is written mostly to young men. So in one sense, the Proverbs 31 woman is the woman young men aspire to marry. Now that's not making the women here feel any better. But the appropriate corollary is then, even though this proverb may not have been written directly to women, is that it is also the woman, or who women aspire to be. Now, I've said this many times, but usually in the context of my parenting session during premarital counseling, a proverb is a pithy saying that is true 51% of the time. In other words, it's not a promise. It's not a guarantee. It's kind of a good rule for living, like an apple a day keeps the doctor away. That's a proverb. It's not found in the Bible, but it's a good one. And we get what it means. We understand that it's not a literal guarantee, but a call to good health, right? This is how we are to understand the Proverbs of the book of Proverbs, even though our passage for today is anything but pithy. It's not short, like many of the Proverbs that we read about in this book. This means that we, as the readers of Proverbs are required to apply the message of this more lengthy proverb to our individual circumstances, whether we are men or women, boys or girls, young or old, single or married. So today, despite the fact that I'm doing what is probably expected by many of you, preaching about the Proverbs 31 woman on Mother's Day, there is no one here who should go away from this text and not be able to take what God has given us in His Word and apply it to your own lives. So let's pray. Lord God, on this day that we honor mothers, may we love and may we cherish the special women who have birthed us, who have nurtured us, who have prayed for our well-being. And so may our hearts overflow with gratitude, Lord, to you, who formed and knitted each of us in a mother's womb. May we all hear your voice this morning through the reading and the preaching of your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the opening three verses of our passage from Proverbs 31 that Tom has already read for us this morning form a paragraph that introduces us to this noble, excellent woman. Some translations render the pronoun as valiant, the valiant woman. And this is a great word to capture kind of the multidimensional facets of this Hebrew word, as the author means to express or to convey for us all that this woman is about. It's a strong word. In fact, strength is one of the aspects, even one of the definitions of this word, and so some commentators refer to her as the woman of strength or the strong woman. She's a woman of valor. And right away we are confronted with trying to get a sense of the style of the writing of this particular proverb, because there are many military nuances in how this woman is described. The point, of course, is not to commend women who lift weights, because in the second part of the first verse, not that there's anything wrong with women who lift weights, the second part of the first verse, we hear that such a woman is a treasure. She is a treasure. Physical strength is not the point, but strength of character, of organization, of care, and most importantly, the strength of her spiritual life. The rhetorical question of verse 10, then, is not meant to suggest that she cannot be found, but that she is the target of the young men to whom the proverb is written. She is the object of his prayers as a wife. The strength of a godly woman is a treasure. Now, that the audience of this proverb is a young man is affirmed in verses 11 and 12. Did you hear that? Her husband trusts her. She doesn't fail him in her loyalty, her resourcefulness, in her ingenuity. And look at verse 12. The gifts and abilities of this remarkable woman are at play for her husband throughout her life. I thought that was really interesting. Not his life, but throughout her life. Meaning that even if he dies and she is widowed, she continues to hold him in high regard and be an asset to his reputation. It's no wonder that shortly after the book of Proverbs, in the order of the books of the Bible in the Hebrew scriptures, comes Ruth. Well, this introduction of verses 10 to 12 moves us right into the meat of this passage. Verses 13 to 27. And what we have here really is kind of an itemization, a grocery list of all of the deeds of this Wonder Woman. So the list really serves to define what it means to be a strong, noble, excellent, or valiant woman. But before we plow into that, let me bolster my contention about what this proverb is for by adding this. The book of Proverbs begins with a call to wisdom. Those of you who are familiar with it know this. It's a call to wisdom, and wisdom is symbolized in the book, not only in chapter 1, but also later in chapters 8 and 9 in particular, as a woman. Wisdom is symbolized as a woman by the author in introducing us to this woman wisdom at the beginning of Proverbs and closing the book of Proverbs with this praiseworthy wonder woman we find in Inclusio. Now, Nathan Hyatt rightly saw and pointed us out a Inclusio in chapter 15 of Revelation last week. The entirety of Proverbs is within these bookends, this Inclusio of this calling to pursue wisdom. And it's personified in a woman. That's what we see here. Now, the primary distinction between the woman wisdom at the beginning of Proverbs and the wise wonder woman of chapter 31 is that the former is symbolic of wisdom, but there is no suggestion that this woman here in chapter 31, despite the lofty explanation, is symbolic here. What she is a personification of the woman wisdom. Now, I'm not going to take time to parse every word, but let me read the lengthy description, verses 13 to 27, and I'm going to highlight what seems to be these categories of her amazing attributes. This wonder woman, the author writes about here in Proverbs 31, is a hard worker. Listen, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of a merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. So, this woman continually meets the needs of her family, doesn't she? Clothing, food, the family schedule. Not unlike many of the women here. But listen to this, it's not just hard work physically that the Proverbs 31 woman is noted for, she uses her head too. Even though this woman is a stay-at-home mom, it would seem she's also an entrepreneur and runs a thriving business. Incredible. And does everything with excellence. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Moms, don't get discouraged now. Remember, this is the target for the young men and a perfect personification of what it means to live wisely for all of us now. But our wonder woman here in Proverbs 31 is also compassionate. There's more. She's compassionate to those in need. She's compassionate to the needs of her family. In other words, this wise woman is prepared for good times as well as bad times. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now listen to verse 23, this incredible verse. It should cause all of us to consider how our living impacts those around us, because this wise woman is not only a hard worker for her family, but because of her qualities, because of her wisdom, she enables her man to be successful. How do we impact those around us, particularly those in our family? Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. What makes this man so highly thought of in his community, in part, is the knowledge that he has her and that she has him. Now, we might call this a power couple, but that's not exactly the emphasis here. Neither of them drag each other down. Rather, they encourage one another and lift each other up. Married people, those of you contemplating marriage, just like we see in Ephesians 5, it is not your calling to ask if your spouse meets your needs, but to ask yourself if you are meeting your spouse's needs. Do you hear the difference? The focus is completely on the other. So continuing with the attributes of this wise, godly woman, verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Did you notice that some of the qualities, some of the things that are mentioned about this Proverbs 31 woman begin to repeat themselves when we get there toward the end? One of the things I've learned in studying passage of Scripture is when I notice stuff is repeating, is to look for a pattern and try to discover if the pattern is pointing something out that we need to learn. And there is a pattern here. Some of these attributes are repeated. It's pointing to something. Our introduction to this woman wisdom in verses 10 through 12 that Tom already read emphasized the high value of a strong woman, a godly woman, to a husband and to a family. Our concluding verses, which I haven't read yet, 28 to 31, do the same. But in between this itemization, this grocery list, as I call it, of all the good deeds and all the attributes of this woman, she works hard, she prepares for good and bad times for herself as well as for others. The mention of clothing, the making of it, the selling of it for her children, and what she herself wears. Each of those thoughts is repeated in some way throughout this proverb, in the top and then again in the bottom, making this entire section here one of those chiasms. It moves from the top toward the center and from the center back to the end, which means that it's pointing to whatever is in the middle. And what's in the middle here in this proverb is verse 23, the respect the husband receives on account of his wife, which again emphasizes the audience of this book, the young men. Here is the conclusion, which again focuses on the strength of this wise woman and the resulting blessing that she is, not only to her husband, but to her children as well. All children in the congregation this morning, and as a reminder, that means all of us, hear the call to acknowledge all that we have received from our moms. Not just on Mother's Day, but every day. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Verses 30 and 31 require a special note. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Men, kids, no mom wants to hear on any day, let alone Mother's Day, "Hey, mom, no worries, you don't have to be beautiful, you just have to be really good at doing good stuff for us." Don't say that. So let's not misinterpret the conclusion here. Because verses 10 to 31 form a chiasm that begins and ends with the strength of this godly woman and points to verse 23 in the middle. Verse 30 is not saying that the Proverbs 31 woman is unattractive or that she lacks charm or beauty. It's written to the young man, and therefore it means this: charm and beauty are not bad, but they are not the reason nor the top priorities for finding a mate. First, above all other things, is that a young man, or a woman, as it were, must prayerfully seek and find someone who follows Christ. And then once you find such a woman or man, make sure that their gifts and their actions do not go unappreciated. It's not an accident how this proverb ends. Remember that in chapter 1 and elsewhere toward the beginning of the book of Proverbs, the woman wisdom is calling men, calling all of us, to follow her. The counterpoint in Proverbs is the prostitute or the nagging wife, the woman folly, or the woman foolishness. Young people, you will follow one or the other in your life, wisdom or foolishness. This Proverbs 31 woman is the personification of wisdom and the direction we should all seek who profess to follow Christ. Hear the words of Proverbs. Especially young folks, wisdom is not an intellectual pursuit alone. We gain it through relationships. What we hear from the Lord in the wise Proverbs 31 woman is a call to fear God, to obey your parents, to find a godly mate if you are not called to single-minded devotion to God. In fact, one thing we discover about Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, is that it is completely evident in the Hebrew, but not in the English. What we find is that not only is this proverb wonderfully poetic and filled with layers of meaning in its content and even in its structure, like we talked about, but it was written also as an acrostic. Did you know that? Is there anything in your Bible that would indicate this? An acrostic. It's a poem, it's proverbial, it's structured as a chiasm, but every stanza starts with a consecutive letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Isn't that amazing? Again, it's Hebrew, not English, so we don't see it, but if you look up at verse 10 again, it might go something like this: an awesome wife, who can find her? A blessed lady, her husband trusts her. A caring woman, she does him good all her life. Diligent at work, she's skillful with her hands. You get what I'm saying? Isn't that cool? This poem describes everything about this woman from A to Z. Now, you may be thinking a lot of things this morning. Your minds may be on whatever plans you have later in the day, where you have to go, whatever you have to shore up. Women, you may be feeling inadequate in light of this Proverbs 31 woman, married or not. Perhaps you don't think you're doing enough after reading this, or doing whatever you're doing well enough. Maybe you feel like you do not impact your husband or your children in this way, or that even your standards haven't been high enough. But know this. Know this. God does not see you that way. He created you, and he sees you as the ideal person for your husband, if you have one, or for the calling that he has placed upon your life, either way. God values you enough to have saved you through the death of his own son. Marvel in this and worship him with your life. That is the wise wonder woman. But others of us are probably thinking now that we don't value our moms enough or our wives as they deserve. Well, today is your day to turn that around. But young men and married men in particular, let me add this. Do you know what the word husband means? Now, we live in an agricultural state. So I imagine there are people who know what the word husband means here. When I was a kid, I was in Boy Scouts, and we had a merit badge back then called Animal Husbandry. And all the kids always wondered what that was, sounded so weird. I never earned it. But a husband is one who cultivates, cares for, and nurtures. That's what a husband is. Your calling as a husband or a potential future husband is to enable your wife to be all that God has called her to be. My greatest hope this morning is that we are all pursuing God's calling upon our lives, but that for our married moms here today and for those we will be meeting up with or calling later, those that we remember with love, single moms that are struggling to do all of these things alone, that they might know and that they might feel that if they are married in particular, their husbands, but their families know them, understand them, and care for them to the degree that they are inspired to grow in their relationship with Christ and be all that they can be for his glory. Let's pray. There is no doubt, Heavenly Father, that Mother's Day brings a mix of emotions for many of us here today. Not only have we looked at this perfect personification of a godly woman in Proverbs 31 and without a proper perspective that can add stress to our lives and put an expectation on us, on women, moms, wives in particular, that is difficult, if not impossible, to live up to. But many of us struggle with moms that were imperfect in ways that were hurtful. Many of us struggle because our children are not walking with the Lord. Many of us struggle because we're parenting alone, or our spouses or our children have died. Nonetheless, Father, as we look at this proverb, and as we read it in what I hope are with new eyes, I pray, Father, that we would see and sense the wisdom that you call all of us in our living. And this wisdom is to follow you Father, you have sent your Son to walk on this earth and to live a perfect life so that he could die as our substitute on the cross and pay the penalty that we owe for our sins. Lord, give us strength, give us patience, but above all these things, help us to grow in our faith that we may follow Christ and live for you in everything we do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Communion this day, let us remember that Jesus instituted this sacrament to be observed in his church until the end of the world as a continuous remembrance of the sacrifice of his death, the sealing of the benefits that are received by his true followers, the followers of Christ, for our spiritual nourishment in Christ. As we serve alongside one another in the body of Christ, which is the church. So may we come with knowledge and faith, repentance, love, and our hearts and minds hungry for him. All who affirm their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone are invited to stand and to profess their faith together. Now, as we recite the Apostles' Creed, as it is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. As we prepare to identify ourselves with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus at the table of the Lord together, let's sing, if you would, open your hymnals to hymn number 535, A Christian Home.
Thank you. be seated.
On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then in the same way also, he took this cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the blood, the body and the blood of the Lord. And so let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself." Thank you.
God, we come to you this morning. We give you thanks. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. And we pray, Lord, that our time of fellowship here at the table this morning would not only please and glorify you, it would not only be a sign of remembrance to us of the great sacrifice that you have made on our behalf, but that your Spirit would be present here to help us, to encourage us, to exhort us to godly living, to faithfulness to you and to your word. Lord, we thank you that we can follow you in Christ because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You have made us new. We have put aside our old ways, and we are new creations. Lord, we give you thanks for this. And so in the death of Jesus and in his rising, you have given new birth to us and to your church. You have delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you've made with us a new covenant. We give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. This bread is the body of Christ broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of him. And this cup is the covenant of his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink it in remembrance of him. And now I'd like to invite you to stand and move toward the center aisle. And if you would, please place your hand on the shoulder of the person standing next to you, and we're going to sing together the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
May the Lord, who brought us to birth by his Spirit, strengthen us for the Christian life. May the Lord, who provides for all our needs, sustain us day by day. May the Lord, whose steadfast love is constant as a mother's care, send us out to live and work for others. In the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always.